Greetings, this is James Gillen. We've got another great show for you. We've got Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and she's a cosmic mythologist, global alchemist, clairvoyant healer, earth advocate, artist, and the great granddaughter of Dwight David Eisenhower. And we've got a lot to talk about. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Laura to the show. Laura, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you know, your name keeps popping up. It seems like you've been very busy, you know, doing a lot of conferences and things like that. And it seemed like the main headline was about a lot of the Mars project that keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess with Andrew Bisaggio, I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Bisaggio, right.
Yeah. But, and I guess there's a couple other people that have come forward about jump rooms and anti-gravity technology and all these things. I guess it's a lot of it dates back to the late 60s and 70s.
Yeah. It seems, you know, it might even go a little bit earlier than that. I'm not too sure. But, you know, I remember David Wilcox saying something about jump rooms. And this was a little bit after the Mars recruitment that I went through. And then I got to know Alfred. And then he introduced me to Andrew. And now we have Bernard Mendez on the scene and Brett Stillings, which really back up what Andrew Bisaggio is saying, because they were part of the program that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just getting stronger and stronger. And then, of course, Kerry Cassidy did the pilot for True TV connecting to the Hidden Mars Agenda. So it's definitely getting out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just reading some research, and our biological clock is set at 24 hours, I think, 37 minutes. And and so they have people, you know, they take them down in the deepest underground caverns, no light, nothing. So there's nothing to trigger, you know, them to know when it's night or when it's day or whatever. And and what's really interesting is that Mars rotation is 24 hours, 37 minutes.
Oh, wow, right?
Yeah, so a Mars day, so we're actually set to Mars, our biological clocks. And there's a lot of theories about how, you know, Mars was destroyed, you know, and a lot of those people came to Earth, you know, and so I think that's fascinating when you look at the research around that.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, really interesting. And also, you know, Tiamat and the explosion of that created Gaia and, you know, the heavens and, you know, how it was the fifth planet near Mars, and just, you know, some of those early cosmic cataclysms that changed the nature of everything and started to bring beings, you know, from Mars to Earth. So there's some interesting history there. And Richard Hoagland talks a lot about the ruins there. And of course, they've said that the ruins have been refurbished in order to be a survival colony now. And then there's even more talk about how Mars is a place to teleport to other star systems because it's not possible to do it on Earth. Since there's so much electronic interference and, you know, all these different agendas that focus on, you know, mind control through electronics, that you can only really teleport to Mars and Moon, but from Mars you can teleport to a ton of different places, but you just can't do it from Earth. So that's some interesting stuff too.
Yeah, a lot going on. I find it interesting. I don't know about you, but you know, I've been watching, you know, a lot of the stuff on you know, with the Mars stuff and things like that, and I go, well, when are they going to come out with the real stuff and blow the lid off it? You know, they're putting out old news, old bits and pieces, keeping everything in the past, you know, but when are they going to really blow the lid off, you know, the fact that we do have a space fleet? We've had anti and counter gravity since, I think, in the 30s over in Germany. You know, they were experimenting with it, and so might have been back in the 20s. You know, but I know for sure it was in the 30s that they had these technologies. But, you know, I'm wondering when they're just going to stop the nonsense, you know, sending a little robot looking for life and doing narrations on it and saying, oh, look, that might be a footprint, or, you know, that might be a piece of metal or whatever. I mean, you know, even top people in the field are involved in this, you know, trying to prove that there's either bacteria or some life existed on Mars at one time or whatever. And it seems to all be smoke and screens, you know, as far as what's really going on is that, you know, we've been going back and forth to Mars, and there's probably multiple races involved in that. And it's been going on for quite some time.
I know it's really shocking how much they just, you know, throw a bone here and there, but they never, ever, you know, really talk about what's happening. And, you know, there was petitions going out to get the White House to admit to things, you know, connected to disclosure. And they write a letter back and they say, yeah, you know, we're very curious to find out if there is life on other planets. And we are looking, and thanks for your curiosity. And I mean, that kind of letter that's sent out to everybody that, you know, signed the petition, you know, the White House can actually send a letter back saying, you know, we're looking to see if there actually is life out there, even extraterrestrials. And, you know, they're working with extraterrestrials. People in our governments have been working with extraterrestrials for quite some time.
Which groups do you think, I know back in the day, I guess in your, is it your, I don't know, what was Dwight D. Eisenhower to you? He was your
great-grandfather.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he was, in his day, you know, supposedly he had some some experiences and some one-on-one contacts and conversation. I guess some kind of an alliance was made.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those treaties originate far further back than Eisenhower. Lisa Renee, who's just such a phenomenal researcher who gets a lot of information from the Guardian Races, has said that the treaty with gray aliens began with Hitler, Aleister Crowley, and Winston Churchill, which is quite fascinating. And it's not something, you know, we hear about much, and to think of, you know, an alliance between those three is really bizarre, which just goes to show how much, you know, there is a central Illuminati organization that is creating war, that's creating, you know, the divide and conquer scenarios, and that it's just not what we see and what we've learned in our history. So then Roosevelt was the first president to sign a treaty with the Greys, but there was already a lot going on because of this former alliance with Hitler, Crowley, and Churchill. They started the artificial timeline and just the implementation of gray alien technology that, you know, is really just not, it's not our friend. Gray alien technology is not a good thing. And supposedly it gets renewed every 10 years, those agreements, contracts, or treaties, I guess you could say, with the gray aliens.
Yes.
So by the time Eisenhower rolled around and, you know, the end of the Second World War, he was taken under Rockefeller's wing, you know, really to become president, to sort of take somebody who was trying to stop the dark cabal or the Nazis, and sort of, you know, bring him in and just kind of plant him in a very sort of lucrative position to make him, in a sense, the scapegoat. Then the renewal of these treaties took place, and I'm not sure quite what happened, but what I heard is that a group called the Ultra signed the agreement and, you know, put the president as sort of the mascot or person behind it. And that's really what the presidency has become. And as much as people, and I'm not into government at all, I don't even vote, but as much as people want to, you know, bash Obama, and I don't blame them for doing it, they have to realize that there's so many more players surrounding him, and he doesn't have, you know, a strong position at all. I don't know, you know, what I might have done or not done. I'm not here to be biased or to protect him, but this is some of the research that's come forward. I just don't think it was a good deal to sign. And but, you know, he also supposedly met with the beings from Venus in the 1960s, and they wanted to assist us. And I guess Eisenhower wanted to disclose what the beings from Venus told him, and the government wouldn't allow him to, because it would have destroyed the economy and people wouldn't be relying on the governments anymore. So that was after, supposedly, the agreement with the Greys. But to me, you know, we're dealing with a lot of sort of malevolent forces on an extraterrestrial level. The ones that really want to connect with humans and work with them, you know, are definitely of a lower origin, because the higher races don't need us. I mean, they can intervene and they can assist us. They certainly don't need us. The Greys do, because they rely on us for their life cycle. They need our power. They need our energy. They need our genetics, because they're a dying race.
Yes.
And so this treaty was supposedly broken because, you know, they created sort of a scenario that sounded, you know, perfectly maybe reasonable to a certain degree, but the treaty was, and it's gotten out of control, and that's where we are today. But like I said, these things originate far before Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is I don't get any family secrets. I mean, you would think growing up in this family that, you know, I'd be finding out stuff that I could share, like, oh, yeah, Thanksgiving dinner. You know, they talked about, you know, Eisenhower meeting with aliens. I ask about it in my family, and they still tell me that he went to the dentist, but I'm just not buying it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I guess probably he would be the only one that knew, and whoever drove him. So
right.
You know, and the rest of the family would probably just, you know, pretty much trained to believe what they're told.
Right.
You know, in those circles. Yeah, I find that interesting, this whole thing. You know, there's a lot of people that out there, you know, in the field of ufology, I'm sure you've met with this, but, you know, they have the people out there, they're saying there are no negative ETs whatsoever. You know, it's all benevolent, it's all good, and they all love us and have our highest and best good in order. And then there's other people that say, no, it's all back engineered stuff, we created it. It's our own government's back engineered things. And then there's another group that says it's all evil. You know, they're here, you know, and I'm sure that you've probably been probably attacked by all three groups, depending on whichever message you give.
Right. I try and, you know, stay in the middle and be as accurate as possible based on research and my own personal experience. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's far more benevolent races out there than there are malevolent. But the malevolent ones seem, you know, very much to be intertwined with our current reality. I mean, mm-hmm. We are in a realm of duality. There is the role of dark teacher. There are extraterrestrial forces that are influencing humanity. But yes, there have been back engineering. There are my labs. There's absolute and total military control. And their use of alien technology that can create abduction scenarios. And in, you know, in a sense, you know, the person who's experienced it will blame it on an abduction when really, in actual fact, it's the military. So mm-hmm. I think we get a bit of all of it. But yeah. I know that they're not all evil. They're not all good. There's a mixture. But mostly the malevolent ones are dealing with this lower, you know, third density reality because it is such a low density compared to, you know, what we really are all made of. And, you know, they have chosen those that are oriented towards service to self. They find hosts that are very selfish and power hungry. And to me, they're just like demons. I mean, I don't even know if they're extraterrestrials. A lot of the reptilians, you know, have been around quite a long time. They don't show up in biofeedback technologies or some of the things as alien. Michael Reif, who came out with the Mars records, he worked on Mars for 20 years. If people Google the Mars records, you know, he's, you know, talking about a lot of government alien relations. But the reptilians don't even show up as alien when the voice print's taken, but the grays do. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the grays have, you know, quite a few roles. We just interviewed Kim Carlsberg, who's a contactee, and she said that she experienced everything from, you know, the most cold and hostile grays to the most loving and connecting of gray species, and that there's actually a lot of different gray species. So, you know, I really just think that, you know, what our disposition is, what our frequency holds. I mean, we, you know, we have spirit guides, there's angels, there's, you know, extraterrestrials of all levels. And I know you know about this more than most because of where you live and what you've experienced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just think, you know, depending on the frequency we hold in our own inner disposition, we attract these sort of forces and we see it on a collective level. And you're dealing with governmental bodies or authority structures that are already using us and taking our power and using it against us. That there is an off-planet energy there, but you know, we direct it based on our disposition. I mean, the state of things in the world is a reflection of the collective conscious. But there's plenty of entities outside of us that come in and assist us, just like, because we have ethereal bodies and we're far beyond this physical. So of course we're going to be dealing with entities that are going to find a compatibility with every single one of us. Mm-hmm. So on a collective level, they'll work with groups that are service to self-orientated, and there'll also be those that are connecting with higher dimensional beings that are service to others and that are in a higher dimensional level. And to me, this is just a very diverse planet with all sorts of beings, all sorts of extraterrestrials. And, you know, just stepping back and seeing it as a whole, you know, the majority definitely is dealing with, you know, lower vibrations, but to me, it can be very much a catalyst. And, you know, we're dealing with the lessons of duality based on the tree of good and evil. And so we can use it to our benefit to help us wake up rather than put us in more fear and victim consciousness or in the disposition where we're going to make agreements and sell our soul to the dark side for the sake of power and wealth and control and domination.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, you know, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And as you're saying, you know, if you look at the condition of today's society, how many people are really walking a path of impeccable integrity and have open minds and loving hearts and are service-oriented people? And, you know, you think about that, you go, wow, you know, if there were a group of negative aliens, you know, then and looking for a home, you know, of people that have chosen to, you know, capitalize at the expense of humanity, Earth, or want to overpower others, or just seek lust for power and wealth. I mean, they'd have a feeding frenzy here on Earth, you know, versus totally. other places. So basically, you know, they say, you know, you have the government, you know, you get the government you deserve, and I think we get the contacts we deserve. And until we rise to the occasion, I'm not speaking for everybody. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful people out there, even simple people that aren't rocket scientists that are having wonderful contacts and connections with the spirit world. I'm not talking about those people, but, you know, we have a serious problem here, and it's a problem that begins in consciousness, and it's a lot of the integrity levels have fallen to, and just this total depersonalization of what we do to each other and the planet, and the dehumanization thing going on, all of this stuff, we're just ripe for the picking. You know, if you have a negative race that wants to inhabit that kind of a reality.
Right. I mean, anything that's lost connection to source, the only other place that they can get energy or, you know, just life force is from people. I mean, that's what vampires do. They've lost connection to source, and so they need to take the life force of other beings in order to stay alive. Mm-hmm. And these fallen angelic realms that have chosen to not redeem themselves, get back in alignment with their integrity and their higher self and their connection, you know, have chosen to feed on and prey on humanity to get energy and power and sustenance, and people willingly hand it over. I mean, nothing out there can take our free will unless we willingly give it. So, you know, the worst thing that's happened is just the amount of deception out there that has taken vulnerable minds and steered them in the wrong direction. But, you know, we have the divine spark within. There is intuition. There should be something that says, wait a second, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. But so many people are so unconscious. And like you said, we are ripe for the pickings. I mean, parasites are going to feed on this. And, of course, light workers are going to be attacked too. The Orion group or the Orion Empire, some of them just they're kind of in the middle, and they're just, you know, looking just to feed. So these other agendas, I mean, like the Illuminati, I mean, they claim to be connected to Lucifer, that they are specifically playing the dark teacher role to act as a catalyst to help us awaken. But mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, they've taken it way too far, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, like, I'm not one to decide that, but when we see what's going on, I just can't imagine that life isn't challenging enough to give us enough wake-up calls to need this extra amount of crap that targets us from the minute we're born, that doesn't give people much of a chance, you know. But at the same time, a big cosmic test, I mean, we got to dig deep. We got to really, you know, look at what energy we're putting out there, what our frequency is, and what we're allowing based on what we're giving away. Mm-hmm. And if we're feeding vampires rather than connecting to our own source and our own life force, these are the lessons we got to get in touch with and grow from.
I agree. You know, a lot of times there's benefits that come from feeding the vampires. You know, there's a lot of short-term gain, you know, either power or wealth or fame or something along that line, and people automatically jump into it. It's like, you know, you go to Hollywood, people will sell their souls to get in a movie and do whatever's necessary just for fame, and you watch that, and it, you know, it just turned into a meat and soul market, unfortunately. But, and, you know, and the messages that are coming out of Hollywood, you know, are just the whole program, you know, of fame and worship and stars, and a lot of them, you look at their real life and you go, God, I wouldn't want that, you know, even though they have the you know, all the money and the big houses and the fancy cars and the fame and everything else. You look at their regular everyday life and there's really no love or joy, and a lot of them are wrecks, you know. They're emotional wrecks, because that's really not the path, you know. But I think it's interesting looking at that whole process of how we need to buck up and rise to the occasion and live a life of integrity, is, you know, and just do the best we can and not sell our souls out, you know. Just go within and go, does this feel right? You know, is this good for, you know, there's an old Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. You right. know, it's really that simple. The basics are there. And if we just get into the basics and just go, wow, wait a second, you know, this is a program that's very self-centered, you know, it's destructive, it's not sustainable, I'm not going to get involved with it. But very few people will step back and look at that and say, well, I have a family to feed. I need the money. You know, I've got car payments to make and things like that. And they'll just go ahead and shut out that side of themselves that knows what they're doing is not in their highest and best good or the highest and best good of the planet.
Yeah, or their children and the children that they're raising and what mm-hmm. the future, I mean, what future they're going to be facing. It's not worth it. I mean, I wish people would take more risks. I mean, I lived on the road for a long time. I lived in the wilderness. I know how to recycle $10 for about 2 months and live on it. I mean, these are some of the fun challenges where we get to play with energy, where we get to see the difference between that source and our own inner abundance and how much we're provided for when we're really on that organic path. Compared to, you know, just doing it in the instant gratification way that creates karma, it harms others, and it just, you know, creates way more lessons than we really truly want. And just people can't see the big picture. And I'm shocked here in 2012 that, you know, simple kindergarten skills, you know, aren't even, I mean, I just don't understand the lack of integrity. I mean, I just really don't. I think that at this point, with all the different incarnations that people have experienced and all the different lessons that, you know, people aren't choosing the higher road. I thought we'd be way further ahead, but that just goes to show the power of just that instant gratification and just, you know, how depleted people are on a self-awareness level, that it's all about what's outside of themselves. And if it's not about, you know, wealth or fame, it's about belief systems that don't serve us at all either. You know, religion and, you know, even the people that are more humble and simplistic, you know, are still getting ensnarled in some of these agendas and belief systems that just aren't very empowering. I think there's going to be a big acceleration and just, you know, people facing some of these, you know, hard decisions and choices. Mm-hmm. Are you going to take the lower road or the higher road? What's really worth it to you? Because to me, it's not about what we're seeing on the planet. It's really not about chemtrails and this and that. It's about how we react to it and what does it make us become? Do we become, you know, more empowered or do we turn our head the other way? What are we going to do with what we've been given? And what I think counts more than anything is what we choose to do with our character. Not, you know, are we going to go into fear? Is this really our future? But, you know, what are we going to do with our character? How does it shape us to becoming better people? Are we choosing to be better? Are we choosing to allow it to put it just further into denial and self-absorption? I mean, everything that we confront gives us a choice. And I think as long as we always make the choice to step up to higher integrity and more service, the more we're going to ascend to a far better experience. And these are why these things are showing up, not to scare us, not to show us a glimpse of what our future is going to be, but to help us decide within ourselves how we're going to orientate our energy and frequency, because that's what's going to determine where we end up, mm-hmm. is the energy that we hold. So
I agree. Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned chemtrails. I find that, you know, this subject, I've been putting out a lot of information whenever it comes out to inform the people and bring awareness to people what's going down. But I look at this and it's tricky between, you know, you have a great love for humanity and the earth and you see what's being done to the planet, but also too, you don't want to get caught up in it. And so you can still address it, you know, with loving detachment and say what needs to be said. But I just find it amazing how this could be done on such a massive scale without hardly anybody doing anything about it or rising up. And it just shows the condition of society, you know, that it's very basic. You know, we know there's aluminum oxide, there's barium, there's strontium, and a plethora of other biologicals that are coming down. That's all been measured. You know, they're toxic dumps, basically. And it's obvious, you know, that's going to have a serious effect on nature, on our own immune systems, on humanity. That's very clear. So, but you know, it's amazing how people just don't want to look at it, don't want to address it. You bring it to the disease control people or the environmental impact people. You know, all those people, and they just, oh, it's not happening, it's not real, and you can't miss it. It's like in their faces. But you know,
I know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. It's like I can understand, you know, a UFO. Event or conference where some people might say, oh, it's not for me because I haven't seen any extraterrestrials, so it's a hard one. But my gosh, everybody can look up in the sky and see something getting sprayed. And it is not normal. I don't remember it when I was a child. You know, generations before us never experienced this. And, you know, I've lost so many high school friends. It's the one place, you know, where I really dropped off, and like I just don't have anybody that's still a friend from high school. They think I'm nuts for sharing this sort of stuff. I mean, they're my Facebook friends, but they're gradually leaving one at a time because they just don't want to get in touch with this information.
Yeah.
And what I love what you shared is detachment is so important. It's like, you know, we're going to be triggered to get very like involved in all this stuff, but we have to remember that, you know, part of the agenda is to also, you know, grab us energetically and pull us into this dilemma. But if we can share the facts and do it from a place of detachment, be solution oriented to just spread the word and all of that without giving our energy away to it and our emotions and all this, you know, I think that we're walking, you know, in balance, and we're being active, proactive, and also not dragged into the trap that it represents, not just on a health level, but on a consciousness level.
I
we got to keep our frequency high because it'll be able to assimilate and transmute a lot of these toxins as we're shifting into higher dimensions. So I'm just glad you said that, because there is a fine line to walk with some of these issues. But it's shocking to me as well that you know, people have no problem going out to vote for Obama, but they can't vote for themselves. They can't vote for integrity. They can't vote for just being an empowered individual that can say and spot the things that are wrong in our world. Instead, they're just, well, Obama will take care of it, or somebody else will do it. Why should I have to? And yet nothing happens. Nothing
every time.
Changes. It's just the same thing over and over again with a different face.
Yeah, I've always said there's a corporate elite running the program, basically, and then you have the puppet show, you know, the Republicrats, you know, going on. And then they install their guy, and once the guy gets elected, they take him down and show him the Magruder film and says, okay, do you understand, you know, that we give you orders, we tell you what's going to happen. There's a little wiggle room there, not much, but you go against, you know, the plan here, then you get the bullet in the head, you know, or your family gets taken out or whatever. So, you know, it's pretty clear. And some of them, they don't even need to show them the film because they've already sold out. You know, they're just there for the power and the fame, you know, and the wealth or whatever. But
it should be starved. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why anybody's still showing up, or it's just, it needs to be ignored. I mean, the focus should just be on Mother Earth and just our own personal power and just how much creativity and abundance can just come from that. I mean, this whole system, the whole government is a parasite. So I don't know. It just takes our hopes, our fears, our wishes, our dreams. And, you know, it keeps people lazy and unconscious. And, you know, same with Hollywood and all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It is just one giant mind control program. And to give you the illusion that, you know, even you look at this program, it's so disempowering because it's always set up as that somebody out there is going to save you. You know, religions, they have their savior. You pray to this person, you give them all your power, and then they're going to take care of you. You know, the Hollywood, you know, they boy meets girl, boy saves girl, either girl or boy save planet, you know. You know, it's they have these things over and over again. It's the same agenda, the same program, and it's all, you know, where's personal responsibility come in? You think about it, you go, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and you know, I don't want to Christian bash. You know, I'm not saying they're negative people or bad people. There's a lot of really good people that are good Christians, but one of the most disempowering things I've ever seen was, you know, they go, well, you know, God wanted it that way, or you know, Jesus fixed it, or Jesus saved me, or they blame God or the devil for everything, you know, and I go, well, what about personal choice and action reaction and accountability and your responsibility for the choices that you've made, and you know, gaining the wisdom from those experiences and learning to make better choices versus blaming everything on some power outside of yourself. And that's the most blasphemous thing you can say, you know, to anybody, but that's what their teacher told them. You know, their own teacher, you know, good old Yeshua ben Joseph said, don't worship me, you know. You know, he said, be still and know your God. He goes, get out and meditate, you know. And he said, there should come a day when man shall not worship God in the temples or in the mountaintops, but within self, you know. And all of his teachings were empowering, saying, God is within you, you know.
I don't know where people confused all this so bad. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it's like his whole teachings, you know, ye are God's children of the Most High. I mean, how plain can it be, you know, when he said God's closer than the hair on your head. I mean, how closer can you get than being within everyone and everything? I mean, the Creator's omnipresent. It's a no-brainer. But in dealing with these religions and a lot of the, even the governments and everything else, we think that some outside force is going to take care of us. That, you know, God or our Savior or whatever culture we're in is going to take care of us, or the government is going to take care of us. And again, you know, I'm all for helping out those less fortunate, you know, and things like that, and ending this uneven dispersal of wealth and the manufactured lack and the greed and everything else. I'm all for getting rid of that. But at the same time, the only way that's going to happen is through personal empowerment, where people stand up and take responsibility and don't participate in these programs anymore, and just say, you know, I'm not going to participate in war. I'm not going to participate in any technologies or business institutions that are harmful to humanity, the earth, you know, or I'm not going to participate in governments that are disempowering and taking people's freedoms away and rights. You know, until that happens, we're just going to have the same old program going.
I know, and it's the divide and conquer thing. I mean, people think they really understand politics, and they're picking sides, and they think there's a real war.
Yeah.
And just, you know, everything going on in Israel, and just how the Zionists call themselves the real Jews, just to confuse everybody. And I mean, they've collaborated with Nazis. None of it's real. And the thing is, people get so passionate about it, and they think that they're choosing something, or choosing and electing a president, or anytime we're choosing sides, we have to, you know, remember that, you know, we're not seeing the truth of what's really there, and it's choosing something that goes against something else, which makes us a part of the war, makes us a part of the opposition and the divide and conquer mentality. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way down and traces back to the way people view Christ or Lucifer or the goddess, and just, you know, it's all outside of the self. And you know, I write a lot, and I encourage people, you know, take all these archetypes, all these deities, and put them all in the same room and have them have a conversation in your own being and create harmony within all of them, because we're made of all of it. All these different races, too. It's just like, you know, there's two races of beings on this planet, love and hate, you know, unity consciousness and divide and conquer. The rest of it doesn't matter, you know, what your label is, what your race is, what you even look like, or what color of your skin. There's two races of beings, you know, those that unite, those who love, those who see us as the global family, and those that just, you know, want to rule, want to control, and want to create these facades and fake scenarios so that we all have historical resentments that come from false history, so that we never really truly get along. And, you know, if people could understand that, then we could counteract it with the very thing they're trying to take away from us. If they're trying to take away our peace, we need to own the peace. If they're trying to, you know, conquer and divide, we need to unify even more strongly, you know. And if we expect God to fix it, or, you know, we're blaming this or that, we need to find it within ourselves, because we have the God and devil within us. And these are creative forces that we have a choice within our own nature to work with. And ultimately, it's integration, it's balance, it's, you know, bringing the higher and lower worlds together, that's going to create the alchemy that will set us free. But people are still playing these games. You know, they think that they know what they're talking about in these political discussions, and they're getting so distracted by it, which is exactly what they want. And, you know, to me, you know, it's not about any of these races or anything. It's just, you know, make a choice. You either are into unity or separation.
Yeah, I was watching this war, and I get these things, you know, from this one woman was just totally... Obama is going to save us, you know, this and that. And then she sends me this other thing about the holy war. The holy lands are under attack, and we need to protect them. And finally, I just said, look, have you done any research into the history of the holy lands? And were they holy before they were taken away from the original inhabitants? And who are the original inhabitants? She just like flipped out and just started lighting into me. And I said, before you jump on one side or the other, get a history lesson, you know, do some research and see what it's all about, because you'll find out it's not what you think it is. It's like a lot of times, you know, we jump on the side of we think the people that are being victimized, and actually they're the perpetrators of the nonsense, and have been for quite some time. So it's kind of weird. It's like I see people as like there's a wave of energy, and they wait for the mainstream media or the institutions to tell the mainstream media what to say, and then they say it, and everybody goes with this wave, and they never do the research and really look into what's really going on. I mean, And we had our time. We were invaded, you know, we invaded, you know, the Native Americans, and then we got invaded by England. And then, you know, it's like you go, which, you know, we're protecting our shores. Well, what about the Native Americans? You know, it's like, what if they rose up? You know, wouldn't they be protecting their shores? You know,
right.
And I just go, when are people going to really look at the history of the real history? We live on half truths, and those half truths are given to us by the media and by the major institutions that govern the medias. And we very seldom actually have any critical thinking whatsoever or do any research into what's really going on.
Yeah, I know. And then, of course, they just, lots of disinformation too, to just make it even more confusing. But, you know, there is some, you know, core truth. And if, you know, people search, you know, and they get in touch with their intuition, they're going to be able to tell the difference. No, there's just going to be an instinctive reaction of yes, this feels, or no, it doesn't. And the thing is, people have already given so much of their beliefs away, so much of their power away, that is there even an intuition left? So it's just shocking, because, you know, we can, you know, sit there and squabble about history and your ancestors did this to my race and blah, 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 and keep this stuff going, you know, like it's historical gossip that just gets passed down generation to generation, but it's like a telephone game. None of it's accurate. None of it's true to what it has been. So why don't we just drop the whole story, clean this, start fresh, look at each other with fresh eyes, and connect on a heart level, and just find some level of forgiveness, understanding that there's been a massive, massive conspiracy of complete and total manipulation, so that we all pretty much self-annihilate without the help of them anymore, because they've already planted the seed of discontent and separation. You know, even if they all evacuated right now, humans are left so wounded, so confused, so lost in like what they think is real, that, you know, we would just do our own selves in.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to just stop the pattern and, like, you know, reset, press the reset button, and you know, clear all this, because, you know, so many of us are made up of so many different races, and, you know, we're all different mixes. And I mean, I just don't see the good or purpose in just carrying these conflicts on anymore. And if you really want to get down to the true enemy, you know, let's just break down and see what the origins of the Illuminati are, and how they infiltrated the Freemasons, and how they infiltrated the Knights Templar, and how the real Illuminati aren't even the Illuminati that we see today. They are the Grail Keepers. They are the ones that are trying to hold, you know, some of the sacred information and knowledge that got taken over. And, you know, if people really trace back to when a certain level of invasion of the human consciousness took place, we would recognize that, you know, these wars don't hold any credibility. It's all a big plot to keep us from uniting and unifying in this particular period that we're in right now.
Yeah, I agree. The Mayans talk about this ninth wave of unity consciousness, and I have been feeling this energy coming in, and especially recently, and we are coming into this huge alignment with galactic plane, you know, which is a massive magnetic wave that we're going to be going through with a lot of debris in it as well, you know, so it's going to be interesting. But, you know, I look at this situation here, and what I'm seeing is that anything that doesn't align with unity consciousness or the higher vibrations of love and joy and bliss and service to humanity, you know, those things, is going to have a really hard time, especially in the next 6 weeks as we move into, you know, the peak of this energy, and on the other side of it as well. But I'm just seeing people losing it, that the tyrants are really exposing themselves. They're just blatantly doing things that are just totally undeniable. You know, they're falling one by one. They're eating each other. You know, they're warring upon each other. Their lust for power and wealth is turning in on their own people, you know, and it's just one big convoluted mess right now. And which is part of, you know, like semantics, when you have a huge amount of energy come in, everything goes into chaos for a little while, and then it goes to the next level and finds equilibrium. And we seem to be going through one burst after another of energy, and it's exponential in nature. You know, the higher beings are telling me, the main thing they're saying, we need to release the past and, you know, find forgiveness and let go of all the old grudges and wounds and traumas, you know, wrong
Nice.
Conclusions from past experiences, you know, within ourselves, you know, get rid of those. And then the other thing they've been saying, making it very clear, is that to make it through these shifts and everything, that that they said basically tyranny is coming to a close because those of that consciousness are of a very dense nature, you might say, energetically and even physically, and that density is not going to make it, you know, into where we're going. Even their physical bodies, their empires, their belief systems, everything that they've tried to create is just going to be shaken down to the very, you know, foundation. And I'm seeing that happening right now. We're in that process.
Definitely. I mean, it's like an immune system that's increasing in strength, and just everything that just gets blasted by that force just, you know, dissolves. It doesn't make it. And our unified energy is like the global immune system. It's going to continue to increase. And the more beings that can jump aboard and just embrace this, you know, the less they're going to have to be part of that chaotic separate, you know, as the wheat and the chaff separate. And that's what's so incredible, because I'm feeling that so strongly. The synchronicities are more than ever showing up in my life. You know, no matter what's going on in the world, it's like we don't have to match it. We're not really of it. We can simply, you know, walk in our truth and in that intention, and notice that what we're experiencing is so different than the ones that are still holding on to dear life to the old paradigm. And, you know, it's like a massive detox or purging. And the chaos of the physical body, when it does heal, is exactly how it's feeling right now. And so there is just a branching away, the organic compared to just the artificial, or the, you know, just these distortions in programming. They can't make it through these gates. And a lot of the collective, most of the collective, hasn't really reached the point of being able to even understand this. And so, you know, perhaps they'll have to repeat the time loop and go through this again to pull more of who they are out, you know, because adversity is really what takes sometimes. Maybe people will have to experience, you know, this whole other timeline that's pretty artificial in order to see what they're not, to begin to return. But, you know, there's a lot of lessons left for a lot of beings, but there's definitely the gateways are opening, the stargates, And there's definitely an ascension happening that I'm feeling. And I love that you said that these beings are telling me that, because I just can't imagine anything more important right now than forgiveness and letting go of the past. Because everything we're seeing in the world right now is to keep us locked into, you know, just this war that's been going on for so long, that's just taken new forms. And it's totally so that we just keep holding on, and that we don't lose our grip, and then so we stay stuck. Because they want to feed off of us. That's all they've got for a life force.
Yeah, it seems like the, you know, the ancient tools of the past still apply today, and it's very simple. You know, right thinking, right action. You know, right diet, whatever. You know, whatever you want to just look at these basics, and you know, war is not right thinking. You know, it's like, it's basically, if we're all one, you know, and we all exist within the unified field, anything you do to another, you do to your, you know, yourself. And the karmic implications, you know, one soldier, they interviewed him, and he says, you know, he goes, every time I take another life, I feel like I just lost a part of my own soul.
Oh, my gosh.
And I go, wow, what a reality. You know, what an incredible thing for this guy in the middle of this war over there. And I think it was in Iraq. And I go, what a thing to say. You know, that was so profound, and I wish all of the other soldiers would hear that, you know, and see that they're basically fighting for corporations. It has nothing to do with terror or anything else. It's all about oil and power.
And it's so devastating
You know, so it's, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's just so devastating, you know, to think that, you know, they're really think that they're being of service. I mean, whole service to others. I mean, so many people are on that path of service, but completely in the wrong arena, serving the wrong agenda, but it's their heart, you know, that thinks that they're doing the right thing. And I think because we're in alignment with the galactic plane, and there's more unity consciousness, waves of love just coming in based on just being aligned with the galactic plane, that these sort of revelations are going to hit people. That they're going to realize, you know, wait a second, this doesn't feel right, something's wrong here. And I just hope to hear more of those kind of stories, because there should be something really lighting up for people that says, wait a second, you know, this isn't the right way to go about things.
Yeah,
and,
a lot
you know, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, I'm seeing YouTube, all over YouTube, they have all these ex-Marines and people in the military stepping up. And, you know, there seems to be a major a major movement right now with a lot of generals and a lot of top military people that are saying, you know what, this isn't working. This isn't what we signed up for. And you know, all these bills that are signed where we totally lose our personal freedom now. This is, you know, the same program that we went through, you know, in with Nazi Germany. You know, it's moving in the exact same direction. You know, the homeland security is, you know, the fatherland, you know, like what's, you know, I can't remember the name of them, but, you know, they had the same program going. But, you know, you look at this and you go, wow, didn't we learn last time what happens when you get a dictator? What happens when you have a massive army, you know, spread out all across the world? You know, what happens when, you know, the vast majority of people are on the government dole and most of them are around security taking orders from somebody else to, and, you know, we're losing our right to privacy, you know, our even right to a trial, everything. All of our base rights have just gone out the window with all of these new executive orders and other things that are being signed. But, you know, a lot of these people in the military are saying, you know what, we took an oath. And we're here to protect the Constitution and, you know, to protect people from enemies, foreign and domestic, you know, so basically that oath seems to be still intact with a lot of people within the military and they're going, wait a second, this, this isn't right. Take it one step further, you know, and just say, okay, well, I took an oath to, you know, what about taking that same constitution and applying it to other countries and give them the same rights and protect them as well and not be becoming the foreign enemy that is invading another country, you know? You know, if they just reevaluate this whole separation game that's going on and the oath that they took and also realize there's, you know, that, you know, those are the other children of God, you know, over there that they're bombing and destroying or whatever with families and just like ours. You know, we come to that realization, which I think we are as a collective, eventually this is all just going to implode on itself.
Well, it has to. I mean, it's just shocking that it happened much sooner because, I mean, this has been playing out so long and the fact that it's still alive and well and people are, you know, still signing up for it and not really seeing, I mean, I know they are more so than ever, but I'm just still shocked at the numbers. I mean, because just on an instinctual level, just with common sense, I mean, we're in one body, but it's filled with different organs that are diverse. Mm-hmm. And the heart can't attack the lungs just because it's different. I mean, they need to work together. I mean, the thing is everything, star systems, everything beyond, you know, the earth plane, all these beings, all these different extraterrestrial races, everything in the universe, no matter how diverse and different it is, you know, ultimately we're one. We have to work together or else the system doesn't work. And that's the same with the human body. If we're not in balance, we're easily attacked. If, you know, there's some wounding or disconnect in some organ or part of our own, you know, body system, you know, we get sick and we can't function. And so it's playing out the exact same way on the earth plane as earth is an organism, that all these humans are warring against each other, and it's like a sick human body that just doesn't understand integration, harmony, and the need for all these different diverse systems to work together under one acknowledging, you know, force of unity and oneness. And it's not sameness. You know, to me, oneness is diversity and harmony, and separation is diversity working against each other. And it doesn't work for us physically in our own bodies. How the hell is it going to work for us on a planet? And people just don't see the connection between an Earth organism and the human body. They think Earth is just, you know, dirt and water, and we're just here trying to, you know, create some level of justice. But the enemy is the one that's causing all this, that's making us go to war, because there's no real enemy except for that. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till they just
figure it out.
I mean, imagine everybody, you know, that 1% or whatever, you know, had to answer to the National Guard, the military, and all these people that have signed their lives away, you know, to put them on the spot. And I was hoping, you know, before anybody goes to the election, that we could do this before we're willing to cast the vote, you know, that we can put them all on the spot before we go in there and choose to continue this game. That we say, wait a second, you need to answer some of these questions for us before we, you know, are going to give you our vote. But nobody does, and, you know, there's just this unconscious trust. And I understand that people, you know, are born very trusting and open-hearted, but, you know, how much more does it take, it's just damn obvious.
Yeah, I agree with it. You know, I was noticing that is like basically you had a two-party system totally in control of the mainstream media, and they just aced out all the other candidates, and they never even got a voice. But you know, on YouTube and things like that, if you listen to the third-party candidates, they were asking those questions. They were asking the tough questions, which is why they were shut off and weren't given a voice and just, you know, made to disappear. Again, the mainstream public too needs to go, wait a second, I should listen to all the candidates before I make my choice. I mean, that's individual responsibility again, you know, where people need to say, wait a second, I need to listen to the whole truth before I vote for this other person. I want to look at their track record and have they measured up to their promises, you know, in the past and things like that. And you know, go back to the basics. I heard one guy saying, you know, are we better off now than we were before? You know, are we monetarily better off? You know, is the condition of our food and our environment better off? You know, and you start listening to all these things about before you vote for somebody, ask yourself, you know, are all these areas, have they improved or have they degraded, you know? And right now our environment is totally degraded. Our food is degraded into overprocessed, acid forming, GMO, chemically polluted garbage, you know. The water is so full of toxins that it's unsuitable for drinking, basically, in most cities, you know, and they keep changing the levels or whatever. You know, you look at all these measurements and you go, wow, obviously we're doing something wrong. And you know, a form of insanity is to do the same thing over and over expecting a different result. And that's what we're doing. And I think people are finally starting to wake up, especially the youth are starting to wake up and go, wow, wait a second, you know, this is all a very ugly mind control game going on here, and they're just not wanting to participate in it.
I'm so glad you said that. I mean, my children, I have two boys that are 14, they're twins, they're not identical, but I mean, they spot all this. I mean, I think we saw something, there's a preview about the story of the death of Osama bin Laden. My son just looked at me, he shakes his head, he's just like, nope, yeah. You know, lies. And I was just like, thank God, you know, I don't have to really work on these kids to, you know, see through all of this. And it's just funny what you said about insanity, because I think I posted on Facebook right before the election. I'm like, people, come on. Like, yes, exactly what you said. They are pulling away the candidates that really count. So it's up to us to say, excuse me, wait a second. I don't know why humanity is just like, I mean, when I lived in D.C., people would wave flags for Bush, and they don't even know anything about him. They don't even question it. It's just because, you know, it's just the thing to do. That's what it means to be a Republican. And, you know, these people are completely unconscious, just going with the program. And, you know, people just don't, you know, care to dig deep. It's you know, people want to be raised by I call it a step-parent. You know, our society, the global elite, is like a wicked step-parent that's taken over and separated us from our primordial parents, from our own deeper nature. And we're like letting this other thing raise us, and we gladly, you know, give ourselves to it, thinking that, you know, it's really looking out for us. And I'm just, you know, it's just mind blowing times. But I agree, you know, people really are waking up because nothing has changed. Our environment's gotten worse. You know, they don't answer to anything. And you know, people in the truth movement or whatever you want to call it, with all their stories of abductions and all these whistleblowers coming out. You know, there's plenty out there for people to shuffle through to get the information they need to see at least, you know, a little bit more clearly. And the thing is, it's not about, you know, having it all figured out. It's the beauty is that we're all talking about it. The fact that we're able to have these kind of conversations. You know, I don't think any of us are avoided having some kind of gray areas where there is some level of confusion. But the point is that we all get together and we talk and we just, you know, really just start to focus on the fact that we're the government and we're the ones who decide, and our own personal families, our relationships, our relationship with ourselves and spirit, that's the true authority. And, you know, the rest of it has to go.
Yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of people haven't really done their history lessons and realize that we do live in a republic, you know, where every man and woman are king in their own land, you know, and basic, we do have basic rights, you know, they're God-given rights. And those rights are innate within everybody. But if we don't stand up for those rights, you know, we lose them. If we're not paying attention, And the original, you know, the republic that we once had, you know, has been changed into, you know, the United States Corporation, and it's no longer our country anymore. It's owned by, you know, the banksters and the elite. So until we break through that program and get back to, you know, our original God-given rights and stand up and say we, you know, we do have the right, you know, right to privacy, the right to freedom, the right to prosperity, all of these base rights, you know, and not participate in this manufactured lack program that's going on and enslavement through dependency and all these other things. You know, I think it's all about consciousness and people awakening to who they are, that they're divine beings and they're not here to be slaves to other ET races or governments or puppets, you know, of these groups. You know, that's what it all boils down to, it seems, is consciousness and people waking up to their true divine nature and standing up and doing right thinking, right action, you know, right living.
Absolutely, totally. You know, and it has to start, you know, right with the self and with the family. I mean, people are carrying abuse patterns and ancestral patterns that create so much drama and crisis in their lives and dysfunction. And, you know, and they're plugged into the system in that dependent way that you said. And, you know, it's recognizing that, you know, it all starts here, the inner work, recognizing that we're divine beings, that we need to step up to the highest good in ourselves and others, because nobody can come along and do that for us. There's no real state except for what's within the self. There's no chosen one except for love and wisdom, and we all have access to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we don't take those steps, we don't step it up in our own personal life within ourselves, then, you know, we're just a reflection of the collective and how broken everything is. And we're just another agent of its enabling, and we're just enablers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know why people aren't pushed enough to be inspired to connect to the true bliss and abundance of unconditional love that's out there. You know, but it's that gratification, you know, people are addicted. They're addicted to television. They, you know, they want their beer. They want, you know, they're so desensitized that they just don't even know that there's this whole other side to it. Mm-hmm. And that's just why I love doing what I do. And I love the fact that you're doing what you do, because, you know, that's what inspires people. It's just, they see another way. They see, you know, that glow that, you know, that, you know, like when I saw you on the Skype at the UFO conference in South Africa, it was just like, you know, it's just like, you know, people are so inspired. It's not like anybody's like talking down to them or saying you should do this or you should do that. It's just simple embodying your truth, your love nature, and it's contagious. And so I'm just so grateful for all that, you know, we're all doing, and it's making a huge difference. And it's really just people are just like, wow, there is another way.
It is. It's all about working together and get out of this competition game, you know, and one-upmanship, which that has to happen even in the spiritual and the UFO community as well. Oh. You know, we all need to combine and start working together and stop this separation game, and then we're going to get to see some results. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour, so what's the best way that people can get in touch with you and follow your work?
My website's cosmicgaiasophia.com, and there you'll see the conferences I'll be doing and the services that I provide, and pretty much everything's there.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and it's been very enlightening, and we'll have to do it again.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I love your perspective, and I'm so grateful to be here, so thank you.
All right, keep up the great work.
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right, it's James Gillen signing off. Have a great day, and you know, it's time to step up and step into your own self-authority and do it with impeccable integrity and try a little right thinking, a little right action, and see what happens. You never know.